Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Cheese, Hawa, Tuxknusum, Salama, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Alaska Folk Festival kicked off last night, and we have a full week of music for you here on Juno Afternoon. Today, we hear a couple of tunes and catch up with local singer-songwriter Quinton Woolman Morgan and find out where he'll be this week. Big Sissy, the East Coast group of three sisters, rocked the UAS Folk Fest last Saturday and has a performance every day this week. They're here to share some of their musical goodness with us. And post-Folk Fest, the music doesn't stop. Pink Martini is coming to Juno. We have the extended interview about their upcoming performance on April 19th. Those happenings are coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. You can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. A special programming note, join us in a live studio audience, Juno Afternoon, this Friday, April 10th. The show will feature the guest dance band of the folk festival, the Red Hots. Bring your dancing shoes. Arrive by 2:45 in the studio downstairs here at KTOO this Friday, April 10th. And for everything Folk Fest main stage schedule-wise, you can visit akfolkfest.org. And for all the additional vibes going on this week, visit the KXLL Nightlife Guide on the homepage at ktoo.org. And now, to begin our coverage of live music here on the red carpet stage this week on Juno Afternoon, kicking us off, Quinton Woolman Morgan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Quentin Woolman Morgan. That is awesome, dude. What's the name of that song?
Mrs. Sorrow.
Mrs. Sorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Now, you have been, you were on the show years ago, mm-hmm. You did some cool tunes. You got this harmonica thing. You got the mm-hmm. got the guitar. Like, when did you get all this together? When did you start playing music?
I started playing guitar at a really young age. Like, I think I got my first guitar when I was like 11 or 12.
Oh, wow.
And then I didn't get comfortable with singing until I was like, I think it was like 2020, like during like the whole pandemic. I got comfortable with myself.
Yeah, right. Had to do something with yourself, so mm-hmm. started singing.
And then the harmonica followed after that.
Oh, the harmonica followed. Why did you add the harmonica in?
I knew that I was gonna be doing like solo stuff, and I felt like I needed something to pack more punch. And also, my grandfather, when we would, you know, go to bonfires and campouts, he would he'd play harmonica in the concertina for us.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So it's sort of an ode to Grandpa a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
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 And this style of music that you're interested in, it's mm-hmm. sort of like this, I don't know, it's like folky, bluesy, yeah. like kind of a mix there?
Mm-hmm. I was really into like 60s music growing up, so.
Yeah.
I think that's like a direct influence for me.
Nice. Yeah. And you had created, you had an album of originals that you put out, maybe like, was it 23, 24?
Yeah, my first EP was, I think it was like 21, and then I just released one like a little bit over a year ago.
Oh, you did another one?
Yeah, okay. I did a second one.
And what's that one called?
That one's called Lady Echoes.
Lady Echoes. Mm-hmm. And is your stuff all on like the...
It's on all the streaming platforms, you name it, Spotify and,
yeah, it's
and
all
YouTube
out there.
And all that, and yeah. Bandcamp and all that.
It's out there. Yeah, support the... I love Bandcamp because you actually pay for the music and it can become yeah. yours, and you support the artist that way. And because, you know, I think that it's known that the Spotify... like streaming residuals are pretty tiny. It's
yeah.
like you get like a quarter of a cent every time it plays mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah,
like
they don't
that.
Pay out very well, that's for sure.
You get like $30 every year, couple years or something, mm-hmm. right? So, and so when you are songwriting, where do you get your inspiration? I know you used to work outdoors a lot.
I think that helped influence me a lot back when I was first starting music. And now I just think I come from like a deep emotion when I, you know, like with my relationship and like, and with, I don't know, just hardships that I've been through or even happiness or fishing. Like I just kind of all that type of stuff.
So when you are, I'm always curious in the creation, like when you're thinking about doing a new song, does it start with, you know, do you just pluck up a melody or do you mm-hmm. see something and like think of a phrase? How does it work for you?
For me, like, it's really weird. I'll like wake up in the morning and I'll have like a new song in my head. And then I like try to bring it the best I can to the guitar. And then I add the lyrics after that. But
after,
like, I have like the melody in my head.
So you dream the melody in mm-hmm. some ways. Yeah, so you wake up and you might have had something in your body and you
yeah.
just pick up the guitar and start trying to figure out what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, and I'll have it like ringing through my head all day until like I put it on paper or make something out of it, you know.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. I feel privileged to be able to do that.
Yeah, like I never hear something like that in my head. Like there's never anything like that going on in my head yeah. ever in terms of music. Usually I'm getting stuck on some song I've heard.
Yeah,
right?
I like, do you, that too. Like I'll have like melodies that I make up that are really annoying in my head and
yeah, especially some of those songs you don't want to have stuck in your head. You
yeah,
know what I'm talking
absolutely.
About? I'd rather have your kind of music stuck in my head. So let's go over what you're going to be doing this week. Tonight you're going to be at the Music in the Jungle over at the Pottery Jungle.
Yeah, Pottery Jungle, playing there at 6. And then I'm playing with the band that I'm in, Steady Going. Over at the Alaskan at 10 o'clock tonight.
That's tonight? Okay.
Yep.
Steady tonight. Going, which I just saw Lisa Denny's post about how that band basically started for Folk Fest last year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was our first show was at Folk Fest. And it
oh,
was
wow.
on a Monday, and we had a Monday show yesterday. So it was like a a year anniversary thing. It was really cool.
Oh, that's really cool. And then later this week, you're also going to be at the Alaskan.
Yeah, I'll be playing a solo set over there, and then the Grizz Bar right after that.
Grizz Bar as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Steady Going has a couple other gigs.
Yeah,
this
we're
week
playing
as well.
At the Crystal and Pottery Jungle as well.
So you're really, like, you're all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a busy one.
It's a busy week. Yeah. Now, I know you used to work, was it for the Forest Service?
Yeah, I worked for the Forest Service and unfortunately lost my job in that whole
situation. So what are you up to these days?
I work for the Harbors Department.
Okay.
I work down in Aurora, Harris, and Douglas Harbor, and we had a really crazy winter this year.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did for sure. And so it's kind of it's awesome that you're able to play all this music, and like Juno just has such a fantastic like music scene.
It really does.
And when you're working on your EPs, I'm just curious, like where do you record those at? Are you?
I record them down in Seattle. I have a really good friend that he's like a master at everything he does, and
yeah.
he bought some really nice studio equipment, and I record with him. And we, like, we'll go to different locations, like barns and stuff throughout Washington.
Oh, really?
And record, yeah.
You get that sort of open, like, does the, mm-hmm. the barn creates, like, a cool sound.
Yeah, we try to, like, capture, like, the feelings that we have in the area that we're recording. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's nice. So you were saying before, like, the sort of the inspiration comes, you dream the melody, and mm-hmm. you're inspired by the things around you. Obviously, you had some of the outdoors, but then also now kind of like as you get older, right, you start processing feelings a little bit
more.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm feeling life a little harder these days.
And so you get it out in song, right?
Yeah. It's a good outlet, I think.
How often do you write new stuff?
You know, I actually took like probably close to a year-long break of writing, and then I just hopped back into it probably like 3 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to, like, I don't know, have a new vision of what I wanted to be as a musician. I was just getting burnt out on my old stuff.
I understand. It's always good to reflect and sort of figure out what the next step is, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Well, the next step for you is performing a lot this folk fest with mm-hmm. both your band Steady Going as well as some individual solo gigs. Well, Gwyneth mm-hmm. Cheech, for being here today. Quentin, it's great to check in with you, hear some cool tunes. And what's this next one going to be?
This one is called Moonlight Mile. It's a song I wrote like when I worked in Katmai National Park, like back in like 2018 or 19.
Okay, cool. All right, this is Quentin Woolman Morgan here on Juno Afternoons Folk Fest Music Week. Take it away, Quentin, from the red carpet stage.
You don't have to smile, let's get stoned and stay a while, don't you think, don't you think. We can walk that mile, watch the sunrise as they wake, as they wake. Oh, you and I can see what everyone seems to be, seems to be, seems to be, seems to be. You can lie your head in the dreams I make our bed, don't you think, don't you think. In the morning you can smile,
as it's been just a while since our week, since our week. These things don't have to change, but they always seem to do. They always seem to do. Yes, they do. Yes, they always seem to do. So let's get high while watch the sunrise as we wait. As we wait.
Oh yeah, a little Quentin Woman Morgan to kick off Folk Fest Music Week here on Juno Afternoon. Thank you, Quentin. Good to cheese for being here, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Catch Quentin all this week. But the music doesn't stop after Folk Fest is over this week. On April 19th, the Portland-based band Pink Martini will be here as part of the Sitka Point House fundraiser. Catherine Rose from KCAW in Sitka, where the band will perform both there and in Juneau, put together this extended piece about the concert and the Point House project. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Jarek, if you could get us started, I'd like to first ask you to share some background for listeners who may not know what the Point House is or about the revitalization project.
Sure. Well, my name is Jarek Hope Lang. My Tlingit name is Tsutin, and I am of the Raven Moiety Kiksati clan from Sitka, Alaska. And this project started out in the most organic way for me, which was I was walking by with the late Bertha Karras from Sitka, Alaska, and we walked by this chunk of property on our way to her house, and she said to me, just casually, that's your people's property and you need to get it back. And at the time, I really had no idea or no concept as to what tied me to that land and what her impression was that I had any business being a part of it. So kind of led me down a rabbit hole to understanding what had been there prior. And then it came to my attention that this was where our clan house had once stood. And a simple statement like that from somebody that you respect can spiderweb in these million ways, and it opened up my mind to the idea that my history used to exist in a physical structure, but far beyond the physical structure, I continue to exist and I continue identifying from being from that house, even though the structure wasn't there. So it started a decades-long work of trying to work towards repatriation of that land. It fell out of clan ownership, and actively worked with the people who owned it to see about getting that land back. And that was when I became aware of the land back movement, and I hadn't really conceptualized what land back was and how the healing came from that process until the process started of us acquiring the land back. And I quickly realized that if I was asking for this level of healing on any level, that this needed to involve the long-term care of the property, bettering the property for the next generation, and managing that property in perpetuity. And you have these two real strong dichotomies. You have Western law, which is what we live in, and then you have Tlingit law, which is what lives inside of us. And I said, somehow or another, there has to be a way to mirror these two things. And so to honor the property, I said, we need to rebuild. Not just structurally, because this is a brick and mortar project, but we need to rebuild spiritually. And there's ideas that tie to that property that I just felt like the time was ripe. I'd never seen a clan house go up in my lifetime. I've seen them come down. I think, Catherine, you know as well as us that the Sitka Indian Village right now has some areas that really need help. And I think I had the permission inside of myself to tell my own story. So what we're hoping to do with the Point House Revitalization Project is build a 21st century clan house that represents Tlingit people in present day. We're also in the process of remodeling a 19th century Kiksati clan house four doors down that can also place us in the past, but let us look towards the future. We worked on Kayashka Hit, which was the late Chuck Miller's. He was the caretaker or hit sati for that clan house. We just did some major remodeling as we're moving forward into having his kuik and celebration of life at the end of the year. So it just seems like now the time is right. And I think young people and elders combined are looking at cultural revitalization with a different lens. So we are looking to break ground sometime in the next year. You know, we're currently working on putting the extant clan houses on the National Register. We got the underrepresented communities grant with the National Park Service. We're looking at shifting the idea of historic preservation within our own community and tying that to Tlingit values. So we have a lot going on. And we started last year with this fun fundraiser idea, bringing Portugal the Man, Samantha Crane, Yahtzee, Nicholas Galanin into the fold and asking people, can we do more than just land acknowledgement? Can we say if we get the land back, we still have a responsibility that ties to that? So this show came from this organic idea of like, can we use art and invite the community as a whole in?
Thomas, the tagline on Pink Martini's website is, if the United Nations had a house band. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Well, you know, we're sort of old-fashioned. So if we had the tagline is actually more like if the United Nations had a house band in the year 1962, hopefully we would be that band. And because it's we perform songs in 30 different languages, we're sort of musical diplomats and ambassadors, and we sort of believe in the power of bringing people together through through music. And we have a 31-year history of doing this, and we're so delighted to be coming to Alaska to be part of continuing in that tradition.
And going back to that 31-year history, I'm really curious about the origins of Pink Martini. When I was reading a little bit about it, it can be traced back to the Pee Wee Herman Christmas special that you saw. Can you tell me that story?
So, back in 1994, I had just graduated from college, and I thought I was going to go into politics. And so I was working on various political campaigns in Oregon. And in fact, in 1994, there was a nasty attempt to amend the Oregon Constitution to declare homosexuality illegal in the state. And so I was working on the campaign in opposition to this. I had just seen Pee Wee Herman's Christmas special, which has, have you seen the special? 45 minutes of, like, it's unbelievable. He has every guest star imaginable. Dinah Shore, Oprah Winfrey, Whoopi Goldberg, Magic Johnson, Little Richard, Cher, Charo, Katie Lang, Grace Jones, Zsa Zsa Gabor, and the Del Rubio triplets. Three gals, three guitars, somewhere between the ages of 70 and 80. They literally were triplets. They lived in a triple-wide mobile home in San Pedro, California. They wore matching miniskirts, matching booties, and they had huge hair. They played guitar and they sang covers of Walk Like an Egyptian and Whip It. And so I brought them to Portland to do a series of concerts in nursing homes, hospitals, retirement homes, and rotary meetings. And at the end of the set, they would very sweetly say, please vote no on Measure 13. And at the end of the week, we had a big community-wide concert. I needed an opening act, so I threw on a Betsy Johnson cocktail dress and I started the band. That's how it started, 31 years ago. And we then kind of became a house band for political fundraising in Portland. So we did benefits for cleaning up the Willamette River, affordable housing, that kind of thing. And we also played a bunch of weddings, most of which ended in fiery divorce. We have a 98% divorce rate. So we just played basically in Portland for these political fundraisers, trying to bring breakfast, a little bit of Breakfast at Tiffany's to political fundraising. And then when we released our first album, crazily enough, it became sort of hugely popular in France. And so that began our first career outside of Portland.
when you put on those first shows, did you envision it getting as big as it did and having as much
never,
reach?
Never, never. You know, I mean, the thing is, we were like a band that, it was not like a band that would ever go on the road, get in a cargo van and go hurtling down the road and get stoned. You know, it wasn't that kind of band. It was really sort of old fashioned. So I could never imagine having this band on the road with this many people doing this kind of music. I mean, it just didn't seem plausible. So it was a huge surprise when it sort of took off first in France. And then eventually, you know, went from there. We were very, very lucky. You know, at that time there was press. You know, we had, and people were buying albums. And I mean, there were a whole bunch of things that were in place that I think, if we were trying to start this band now, it would never happen. And then, of course, there's Storm Large, who really brings everything up 7,000 notches. You haven't played with us in Alaska yet, have you, Storm?
Yes, I have.
Oh, did we?
Yes, I have. Yeah, okay. A long time ago. Yeah, I loved it. It's such a magical spot. I'd always wanted to go to Alaska, and it's a pretty great way to see the state. It's beautiful. So something magical about the light.
And Storm, you joined the band in 2011, right?
Yeah.
And you alternate as the lead singer with China Forbes, but you've mentioned in other interviews that you're really one of 15 soloists. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that looks like?
Well, I'm a I have my own band, and I also perform solo with symphonies and stuff. So when you are normally in a band, you're the lead singer is sort of the identity, the ID of the band. You're the mouthpiece, you're the person that everyone's kind of looking at. And it's a big responsibility, and it's sort of your identity as the band's identity is wrapped up with the singer. In Pink Martini, though, each lead singer has a very unique and bold and brilliant, whatever, sparkly personality. It is one of the most relaxing front gigs, because I'll sing a bunch of songs solo, and then I will shimmy back to the backing vocal mic. Jimmy Harrod will step forward. Edna Vasquez will step forward, or it'll be a band solo. A piano with Thomas and his partner, Hunter Nowak, on piano, doing Rhapsody in Blue, the most hilarious physical comedy you've ever seen in your life. It's like laughing, kind of. It's a big variety show, and everybody has an important role in unison. But I see Pink Martini as a collective of wonderful, amazing, brilliant stars in their own right.
So what's it like, though, to travel with such a large band, so many instruments, to these remote places like Sitka and Homer? What's that experience like?
Busy.
Well, right now I feel like the band, everybody is acting so well, together. There's a lot of laughter. It's been going on for 31 years, so you would think that there at times there have been, people have been deeply exhausted, including mostly me. I think that right now everybody is just so happy with how things are going that it's a pleasure to be on the road.
And so what can Sitka and Juno audiences expect from these upcoming shows, and how can they prepare? Like, what albums should they listen to? You know, what can they kind of get ready for?
Any albums, really. I mean, I hear Pink Martini music all over the world, playing in restaurants, cafes, even in like shopping centers. The albums are polished and beautifully put together. It's very vastly different from the live show. The live show is just a party. So, you know, they don't need to prepare. Just be hydrated, rested, show up with your heart on your sleeve and shoes on your feet, and you're going to dance your butt off. So maybe calorie load. If the audience is showing up with all their heart, it really juices the stage. It juices us, because we're not the kind of band that is like, that we are a band on stage, lit, electrified, amplified, and you are the audience, and you sit below in the dark and you receive what we have to offer. It is whatever room we're in a little high school auditorium or a giant or the Hollywood Bowl, huge stadium, everybody's in on it. Everybody is a part of the show, energetically, emotionally. It's fantastic. I think that's part of the secret sauce and why Pink Martini has lasted so long, because it is the ideal situation for especially nowadays. It's such a radical act of optimism for people to gather like that, different from different backgrounds, different socioeconomic realities, different ethnicities, and all gather together in a room and have a matching emotional experience with their fellow man and their fellow woman. So it's just kind of, it's rad. It's just, but the audience is definitely part of it. They're not a separate entity ever. So it's going to be awesome.
You know, this is the second benefit concert. Where did the idea, you know, you said it was organic, come from for using music and concerts and connecting it to this project as an opportunity for fundraising?
I never really realized, A, that I had such an amazing friend group. I'd never pulled from it. I just got to experience it. When I lived amongst them, I just was part of this like community and got to witness their art and their craft. But I never called upon it to benefit me in any way. And I think there's a heavy burden that comes with some of this lifting work, right? It doesn't just happen because you sit back and let it happen. So I guess being firmly rooted in who I am and what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to accomplish, once you establish your narrative, it's much easier to ask for help because it becomes more of a tangible. So when I reconnected with Thomas in Portland, it was like, well, we have this momentum, let's keep it going. I think what Portugal the Man and Samantha and Yatsin provided us was optics. And we want to continue that. And I think it's an unconventional way, right? Last year was like rock and roll and folk and singer-songwriter. And this year, bringing Pink Martini into the fold, it really creates this open dialogue of like, we are inviting you. The purchasing of a ticket is an invitation to be a guest in our process. You could be part of this restoration, this regeneration, this restorative practice, which traditionally, I don't think these people were invited to. It used to be different, and maybe people don't like me for that. I don't know. I try not to lose sleep over it, but I think there's an opportunity here that if we're asking for land back and we're asking for ways to revitalize our culture and people, that we can ask for help. So we're giving you a product. And in turn, we're taking the funds from those and we're putting them towards what we feel is valuable to us. So it's wonderful to use art as a mechanism, art and music as a mechanism to invite a broader community in to be part of this supportive process.
That was the Pink Martini interview from Catherine Rose out of KCAW. For more information and tickets on the Pink Martini concert here in Juneau, you can go to pointhouse.org. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon on KTO. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juneau Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ane kak, gunil cheesh.
This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and we are in the middle of our first day of live music from Folk Fest Week here on Juneau Afternoon. And now it's a pleasure to welcome to the red carpet stage, all the way from the East Coast, right here in Studio 2K, Big Sissy!
Thank you. that you see in my eyes when I'm backing up and needing to apologize. The notion that my step is a fall and I'm heaving heavy breathing up against the wall. The lie that I tell myself that a person can't drown if they already live underwater. Well, I'm a good climber, scaling harder to find a good spotter. That you're hearing my breath like I haven't exhaled yet. The tip of my toes that I walk on, the drip of my nose when the sun's gone. The lie that I tell myself that a person can't die if they already live in their spirit. Well, I'm a good shouter, but I gotta jump off so people can hear it.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Yay. I love it. I love it. Big Sissy here on Juno Afternoon. Why don't you come over here and have a seat? Sarah, Nicole, and July here on Juno Afternoon. Big Sissy is going to be performing all week long. They're going to be at the Drip Drop Wonder Shop tonight at 7 p.m. They're going to be at the Pottery Jungle tomorrow at 6 p.m. And also tomorrow, they added a show because they're so in demand. They're going to be they're going to be at the Lodestone Library at 4 p.m. tomorrow, a little afternoon delight, right? Mm-hmm. A little fun tomorrow afternoon at the Lodestone Library before you head over there to the Pottery Jungle. And then on Thursday night at 6 p.m., you're going to be at the Alaskan. And then on Saturday night, you're going to close it out with a concert at the Crystal Saloon at 4 p.m. on Saturday. And in between there, you're probably going to be seeing some of the other music going on as right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been loving your posts about all of the music each day in town.
Oh, yeah, the nightlife guide, it's put together by Kelly Icardi, who you were with on Friday night.
Nice.
Kelly puts together the nightlife guide. It's on KTO.org's main webpage. You can just find it there. There's a big old button there. You can find out everything that's going on around town outside of the main folk festival, because the main folk festival, you can just go to akfolkfest.org and see the list of all of the main stage acts that are performing this week over there. So you all were on the show last Friday, but we didn't sing. So I wanted to have you back because I wanted you to sing. But you were part of the UAS Folk Fest that happened on Saturday night. How did it go?
So good.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
So whimsical and magical.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was there a lot of kids there?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They made it.
A lot of students, I mean. Not kids, but students.
No, both.
And kids.
Yeah, kids just, like, running and screaming and hula-hooping, and it just was such a fun, like, family vibe, which I think is going to be kind of different from the other shows that we're playing this week. So
yeah.
It was very wholesome and sweet.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So... when you're talking about, so what was that song called, by the way?
Hold My Line.
Hold My Line.
Yeah.
And was that written by all of you or one of you, or how does it work?
So we are working on writing more together. But so far, July and I have written like all the songs separately.
Okay.
So it's kind of things that we had written really before we became a band, and then we've adapted to the band. So we're still kind of developing, like, what our style is writing together, but, like, lyrically and, you know, guitar-wise and melody, but then, like, all the other parts we come up with together.
I see, okay.
But, yeah, that one I wrote a little while ago.
Yeah, because we talked about this on Friday, but you guys put yourselves together as a group last year to come up here for UAS Folk Fest and Folk Fest Week. Because you know Bridget Monk's out at the university. And you all had worked separately, though. You've all been in music for a long time. So last week we didn't get to dive into it as much, but, like, I think I asked, like, what was the dynamic like between sisters? Because we have big sister, Sarah, middle sister, Nicole, and baby sister, July, right? You're in order.
Yes,
that works
yes.
for me.
Yeah.
And one of you has colored hair. No, two of you have colored hair, but somebody didn't do it.
I literally tried. I had blonde hair over the summer, and then it started growing out, and I was like, I'm just going, like, black practically,
yeah,
like
black.
Dark brown. And I tried to lift it and put in some pink, like, streaks in the front, and it wouldn't budge. Like, I literally, like, colored it for, like, 4 hours. I was like,
oh. I like it, like, you're the older sister, so you're, like, you're the dark. I got to take care of these two. Like, you know, like.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
So, as you've developed over the year, and you're talking, Nicole, about how, you know, sort of your songwriting together, you're sort of figuring that out. Are you still, like, kind of figuring out what the vibe of the band is going to be? I know we talked about it sort of being, you know, Sad Girl or whatever that is, but, like, so are you still trying to put the pin on it or find, or you don't need to box yourselves in, but what's the discovery been like over the last year as you've sort of created music together?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely still in a growth stage, growth process. We started recording, it was cool to add, you know, bass and more layers.
And don't you have somebody drumming for you too?
Yeah, our drummer's coming in tonight. We can't wait. Robbie!
Yeah. So you said, what were you saying, Nicole?
I think the recording is kind of helping us find the sound on each song too. Like, as we get into the production, you know, that can kind of help us, like, develop our sound. But, absolutely. I think we have some crossover musical influences, but also somewhat different. So, I think we've been in other projects that have had completely different sounds, like either, you know, really folky or really, like almost ska, you know? And so, like, I think we're like, okay, well, what are we now? And I don't know, it's fun. Like, I think also playing live really helps to, like, work out songs. So I think, like, that is helping us to develop the sound as well.
Yeah, and I think I was talking to somebody and I was just also saying, like, there's really no reason to, like, box it in per se, right? It's just music. And it can be whatever you all want it to be. I'm just curious because you basically had different pasts. You were in different bands and doing different solo things, and you were doing things before this got together. Are you still doing, like, other projects? Like, July, you were in a band, right?
Yes.
And so did that band is not a thing anymore?
Yeah, we were together for about 5 years, released 2 albums. We were like a 7-piece band with horns.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we had, over the years, we had different members kind of coming and going. And, I don't know. We had a great run, but it just got to a point where we decided to go on hiatus, and we never really picked it back up. But, and, you know, that was kind of a sad time for me. You know, it's like this something that I was building for so long with these.
It had been your identity in a way.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Yeah. But yeah, I'm really grateful for my sissies for, you know, lifting me out of that funk and making me really excited about moving forward and embracing being a musician again.
And what was the name of that band?
It was called July and the Serotones.
July and the Serotones. Yeah. I love that. That's cool. And what kind of music was that?
So that, you know, again, like, there were,
yeah,
there were so many different, like, influences amongst all the members. But, I mean, yeah, we had some jazz influence with the horns. Like Nicole said, it was definitely very, like, ska, kind of reggae dub influenced. A little bit funky, a little bluesy at times. Yeah.
And Nicole, what were you doing before Big Sissy got formed? Were you like a solo singer-songwriter?
I've been solo for, like, I mean, I've been performing my entire life, but, like, more since I was, like, 15, I've been, like, you know, every open mic, I've done a lot of solo stuff. I had a band for a short time, like 2 years or so, with actually the drummer that is now our drummer again. He's the best. Shout out to Robbie.
Coming in today.
He's, like, in the air right now. And so, yeah, that was really fun. And, yeah, I think more just, like, collaborating and, like, I'll perform with people but not necessarily as a fully formed band. So, yeah, definitely mostly solo for a long time.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And then, Sarah, what about you? What were you doing before Big Sissy was formed? What were you doing musically?
Yeah, so as you can probably imagine, we come from a very musical background, and our mom is a super talented musician, and I think throughout all of our lives, like, I've played so many different instruments over the years, from the clarinet to the flute to the piano to drums to guitar, and my most recent interest has been banjo. So, yeah, over the last decade, I've kind of been dabbling with that more at some times than others. But, yeah, bluegrass has become, like, a huge love in my life, and I wasn't really doing much, but I knew that I really wanted to, and they have so much more, like, stage presence experience and performing and stuff, and I went to school for illustration, and I was, Becca and I, too, were more of, like, the painter as the artists go, Nicole was, like, the performer, and then Becca became the performer, and it's much newer for me, like, being on stage and being
name's
confident.
July, by the way.
Sorry, July. Big sister, oopsie.
I know, I was like, I'm both. You know,
it's all good, it's all good. Yeah, so I see. So you were kind of the more the in the corner drawing, doing things, and they sort of drug you into this.
Yeah.
But you've been interested.
At times, like, we have played together.
Yeah.
So
that's so interesting. I know one of our local folks here is on the board of the folk festival, Annie Bartholomew, and she got into banjo a couple years ago, or maybe, like, I don't know, 3 or 4. It just became, like, her thing. Like, she's so obsessed with it. So have you met Annie yet? When you meet Annie, you're going to be able to bond over banjo. Just start talking banjo with Annie B, and you're going to bond because, she's become amazing at it, which is really, really fun. Good. She's been, like, studying with people and teachers and things like that. So
love it.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. So when you you're in Connecticut? Is that where you all are? Sort of?
Yeah. I live in Brooklyn and New York.
I see. Okay.
And they're both in Connecticut, but we always practice in Connecticut because that's also where our drummer lives. So
I see. Okay.
I'm doing a lot of traveling.
You're doing a lot of traveling. Yeah. I can see definitely how Nicole, the middle child, of course, being the artistic and going down to New York City, doing the whole lifestyle thing. I love it. And so have you been doing gigs, like, I know I saw on your Instagram, which is bigsissy.band, you can find them on Instagram, which is great because you document, like, all of your travels and you document different events, and I saw you put a little reel together. I even saw you had a clip of yourselves on the show here last Friday, which was nice. So you're documenting your whole journey, which is really cool. Are you performing, like, in and around Connecticut, or what is your goal, like, performance wise? Do you want to keep doing like things like Folk Fest, or do you want to create your own like little concerts at like, I don't know, where do you perform at these days? Like, is it like bars and stuff or coffee shops? Where does it happen?
Yeah, we, to be completely honest, we have not played that many shows in the past year, a handful, like in, mostly in Connecticut. I really want to play some more shows in New York, but I think I'm still developing those connections. Like in Connecticut, there's a number of places that we can just be like, hey, can you, like, hey,
yeah, for
you
sure.
know, like, just because we've like known them for so long.
Yeah.
And
so,
from Becca's,
yeah, from kind July's, of like, yeah, like just like maintaining, yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, yeah. We love that about Juno is like here in Juno, you can become a performer and perform all the time. Like our local folks are performing all the time at the different bars and different venues and different things. I understand like in New York, how difficult it is because the amount of competition that's there and how many people are trying to get into those gigs is a lot. I was just curious, like, as, because I know it's hard to get to the point where it becomes the only thing you're doing, right? In terms of like professionally, that's tough. So you're balancing like jobs with music and then traveling up to be with your sisters to rehearse and do all those kinds of things. So like when you come to a place like Juno for Folk Fest, it must just feel like this is it. This is like the dream idea, right? To be performing and just having fun with the audience and doing all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really
been incredible. Yeah. It's been mind-blowing. I mean, after last year, like there were moments when we were here and we were just like pinching ourselves like, is this really happening right now? Like walking down the streets and people from who knows where being like, "Big Sissy."
Right.
You know, even
so
this
cool.
week, like every place, every restaurant that we've gone to, somebody pops out and they're like, "Hey, is that Big Sissy?" It's an incredible feeling. And I mean, I know that I've always had dreams of, like I have a reoccurring dream that it's, like, an apocalyptic scene and, like, our music is, like, saving the world. And it's, like, you know, these subconscious things implanted. Like, I truly feel like we're meant to move people with our music.
Yeah.
And this really feels like it's a greater reality than maybe we ever really thought it was before.
Well, this seems like the great way to sort of see the potential, right? Like to see the what could be, and that if you keep working at it and you're doing all the hard work to make it happen, that it's just going to keep getting better and better. And it's really fun to sort of, you know, hear you and see you and meet you at this point, you know, in your careers, and just to see like where will you be next year? Where will you be when you come back to Folk Fest? Like Willie Carlisle, who's the guest artist this year at the Folk Festival, he was here like many moons ago. You know, and now he's like the guest artist. It's so cool, right? It's really awesome.
That's so cool.
So I really appreciate you all being here today. Can we get another song?
Yeah.
We'll go out with a song, another song today. What's this one going to be called?
So this is one that I wrote. It's called Hurricane Season.
Hurricane Season. Okay. Hop up back there on the microphone, the red carpet stage, and I'll give y'all another shout out here. So Big Sissy, you can find them on Instagram at bigsissy.band. They're going to be at the Drip Drop Wondershop downtown tonight at 7 p.m. They're going to be at the Poetry Jungle tomorrow at 6 p.m. They're also going to be at the Lodestone Library tomorrow at 4. And then the Alaskan on Thursday at 6 and the Crystal on Saturday at 4. They're just basically everywhere all at once this week. They're going to be all around doing their thing. So, and you can, like I said, you can find more at bigsissy.band on Instagram. Once again, here from the red carpet stage on Juno Afternoon, it's Big Sissy.
As she's tuning.
She's tuning. We got a minute to tune. We got a little tunage. We love it. It's live radio. We got to tune to get to the right song. While she tunes, I'm going to play our last underwriting spot for the day real quick. Here we go. This is Juno Afternoon on KTO. We'll be back in 20 seconds. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
Big Sissy. When the rain fell, it caught me by surprise. Thought I'd find it falling from the sky, not my eyes. Every drop is a tidal wave goodbye to justify. When the rain fell, it caught me by surprise. Thought I'd find it falling from the sky, not my eyes. Every drop is a tidal wave goodbye to justify. When the rain fell and caught me by surprise, thought I'd find it falling the sky, not my eyes. Every drop is a tidal wave goodbye to justify. When the rain fell and caught me by surprise, thought I'd find it falling the sky, not my eyes. Every drop is a tidal wave goodbye one last time.
Big Sissy here on Juno Afternoon. Thank you so much, Gunna Cheese, for being here, Big Sissy.
Thank you.
And that will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. We are Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. here on KTO, except for our extra special show that was today, right here on KTO Juno 104.3 and KUK Juno Ak Bay 91.7. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Live stream archives over on KTO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Support comes from Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp, Miko Wilson, and Megan Reardon. Gunna Cheese, thanks all. Have a great folk fest.